The following message was recorded at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. More information about Bethlehem can be found at hopeingod.org.
Michael and Emily and Lily, it's been just a little over a year since you found out you were pregnant. It's been 8 months since you learned that God was doing an unusual work in this pregnancy. We'll never forget those strange and providential circumstances by which you had a late ultrasound and how you began to walk in faith as wave after wave of heartbreak and pain came over your life, and how you continued to walk in faith even when you seemed like you couldn't feel the way forward for the next step. We'll never forget the night Henrik was born and his beautiful face. Now we know what a miraculous birth that was, what a gift it was that God gave us these months. We'll never forget what a snuggler Henrik was and how he was so clearly soothed by being in your arms. We'll never forget his seeming patience and humility and his little whimper of a cry and how he was so quickly calmed by hearing his daddy's voice. We'll never forget how you learned more medical terms than you ever thought you'd know, and how you face some of life's most difficult ethical decisions with wisdom and grace. We'll never forget the impact of Henrik's life and his story on so many lives. First, here at Bethlehem, and especially among our young adult community that know you so well, and then even far and wide through the blog you kept. It's no small thing that literally thousands were ministered to by Henrik's story and by your lives and by your words of faith. And right now, type the name Henrik into Google, and the sixth site that comes up is the blog for Henrik. We'll never forget the extraordinary impression left by such a life as Henrik's, an effect that we're already seeing did not die with his body, but has continued on and will continue on. Truly, Michael, as you read from John 9, the works of God have been so clearly displayed in his precious life of only 5 months and 10 days. It is a great work that God has done in so many of us through Henrik. We will never forget Henrik Otto Thiel. So what I'd like to do in these few short moments is give one way of remembering Henrik. This is only one way among others. But as I've walked through these precious and painful days with you, and as I've reflected on Henrik's short life here on earth, and as I've thought about what God has done in me and in so many through his life, through his short visitation among us, it seemed more and more fitting to remember him as Henrik the Great. Henrik was weak, but we won't mainly remember him as weak. He was small, but we won't mainly remember him as small. He was disabled, but we won't mainly remember him as disabled. For those who have eyes to see, the main thing we'll remember is the unexpected and surprising way the greatness of God was so clearly on display in his life and through his parents. It was not the greatness that this world typically looks for. It was a gospel greatness. It was the greatness of another world, a world that's not here yet, but a world that is coming so soon. It was the greatness of power in weakness, like 2 Corinthians 12:9. It was the greatness we sense when we catch a glimpse of divine strength through the most human frailty. So let me give you just 5 reasons, one for each month of his life, for why I will remember Henrik Otto Thiel as Henrik the Great. First, he was a great gift from God. He was a gift to you, Michael, and Emily, and to Lily, and to so many of us. He was made in God's image, and he relentlessly reflected God's image to us. And given his condition, it was an amazing gift that we had him for so long. The medical professionals were surprised at every turn by the gift of life we had in Henrik. As Bill and Cindy just read in Psalm 139, God knew exactly what he was doing when he formed Henrik's inward parts and knitted him together in his mother's womb. Henrik was fearfully and wonderfully made. And so we say with verse 14, How wonderful are your works, O God. It was the works of God on display in Henrik's life from the very beginning. Again and again, Michael and Emily, you turn to John 9:1-3, as you just read, to remind yourselves that this unusual condition was no judgment from God, but a divine gift for you. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, Jesus says, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. In this way, Henrik was a great servant to you guys and to all of us. He lived the life of a servant for 164 days by reminding us that we're not in control, by causing us to despair of self and look to God, by awakening us to the horror and pain of this world, and by helping us to long for another. One of the main lessons we learn from Henrik is that the deep sorrows and pains we face in this life are often not the product of specific sins, but part of a world that is not what it should be because of sin. Which leads to a second reason to remember him as Henrik the Great. Second, he brought us great pain and sorrow. Henrik's life was a living testimony that this world is not right. This world is not the original creation, and this world is not the future and final creation. It has been deeply affected by sin. Romans 8:20-23 sets the scene for us well. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Because of the horror of human sin, God subjected this world to futility, like natural disasters, disability, and disease. But God did it in hope. A day is coming when this world will be set free from corruption and decay. This world is not what it was when God created it, and it is not what it will be when he perfectly redeems and remakes it. For now, we live in an age of sin and suffering and tremendous sorrow, an age in which we groan, and we have grown so much in these last few months. Many of us, maybe especially the younger adults here at Bethlehem who know you guys so well, this has been the first or one of the first awakenings in our life to how messed up things are in this world. This was one of our first up-close encounters with what it means that the creation is cursed and subjected to futility because of sin, and that the place that we live is not yet our home. For many of us who love the Thiels, the problem of pain has gone from being theoretical to intensely personal. We've caught glimpses of God's goodness in the midst of wave after wave of disappointment and pain these months. But we are learning the tough lesson that in this world, God's goodness toward us rarely means ease and often means great hardship. If this world and this life were all there is, we would be on the brink of despair. The tensions that God is so lovingly weaving into our hearts in this fallen age are meant to be resolved in an age to come. We've learned that saying God is good doesn't mean that he makes our lives easy, but often that he makes them hard, but not joyless. Third, Henrik's parents were a great demonstration of living by faith in life's most tragic and gut-wrenching circumstances. The circumstances were frequently horrible. At times, the heartbreak was almost too great to bear. Again and again, just when it seemed things couldn't get any worse, they did. Michael and Emily, just when you felt like you had no more wherewithal for any more pain, any more decline, any more bad news, God gently stretched you even more, and he provided just what you needed to keep going, even when there was little or no excess. You showed us what it means to walk by faith in Jesus, not just in a moment, or in an hour, or a day, or a week, but months of being sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:10. Walking by faith in Jesus isn't always pretty. It's often not pretty. It doesn't mean that every step is strong and determined, but that we lean on him in most of our steps when they're weak and tentative. Part of the beauty of your great demonstration of faith in Jesus is that you don't think of yourselves as heroes. You don't even think of yourselves as models. You're aware of your weaknesses and your failures, and you keep leaning on the one who is strong when we are weak. So we thank God for your demonstration of faith in Jesus and how you've shown us what it means to be sorrowful, yet always rejoicing in the midst of circumstances more tragic than most of us will ever face. Fourth, Henrik pointed us to the great gospel of God's sacrificial Son. Earlier we read from Romans 8. I know an old pastor who calls Romans 8 the greatest chapter in the Bible. I think that's right. And many have called it the great 8. And it's fitting that the great 8 would be so illuminating for us about Henrik the Great and for the rest of us who are in such need of a great God. Romans 8 is like the Himalayas, and Romans 8 verse 32 is like Mount Everest. You know Romans 8, 32 well, but let me say it again for you. God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? All things that God has purchased for our good, in tribulation, pain, distress, in all of life's greatest hardships and difficulty, he's working for our good, and he purchased that with the loss of his son. You can hear God's own anguish about the death of his son when he says he did not spare his own son. So much of him wanted to spare him. God knows what it's like to lose a beloved son. God drew you, Michael and Emily, to his heart as you walked in the pain of losing your only son. It is this great gospel of God giving up his own son as payment for the death we justly deserve because of our sins. This is the gospel that Henrik's life has pointed us to again and again. We've seen it in Henrik's own way of so patiently and humbly serving us for God's hard but good work in our lives. We've seen it in your own extreme love and care for Henrik as you sacrificed so much. You sacrificed your everything. And in doing so, you echoed Jesus' great sacrifice for us when he went to the cross for our failures. Instead of detaching from a disabled son, you embraced the pain so deeply, knowing that you had great hope in Jesus. Fifth and finally, in Henrik's life and death, God has pointed us to the great victory that is to come for Henrik and for all those who have bound themselves to Jesus. This body that we'll put in the ground today is not Henrik. It's Henrik's body, but it's not Henrik. Henrik is a human soul who will live forever, who is now with Jesus, and one day soon will find his body fully restored in a new creation. What a great reunion there will be, Michael, Emily, Lily, Henrik, in Jesus' presence. How sweet it will be in the new heavens and new earth when Henrik's body is fully restored and we run together, laugh together, play together, sing together, we cry together with joy and enjoy the majesty of Jesus together for all eternity. Henrik's story is not over. Our story is not over. There is a great victory to come in which there will be no death, no sin, no sorrow, no pain. It's the anthem of 1 Corinthians 15. The trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on imperishable, and when the mortal puts on immortal, then will come to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the great victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The victory is through Jesus. I said at the beginning that there is a greatness in Henrik for those who have eyes to see. This is not a greatness that all will see. This is not a victory that all will have. It is only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Apart from Jesus, we can't see Henrik's life as a great gift. Apart from Jesus, we can't do justice to the pain and to the sorrow. Apart from Jesus, we don't see a great demonstration in Michael and Emily. Apart from Jesus, there's no great gospel of forgiveness for sinners. So let me close with this great invitation to the gift, to the pain and sorrow, to the demonstration, to the gospel, and to the great victory. Even though we're all born sinful, born into sin, called original sin, I believe that Henrik is now with Jesus, and that those of us who trust in Jesus will see Henrik again, and he will be whole in the new creation. The reason is that God has appointed that there be a judgment, and that judgment be on the basis of our lived out unrighteousness. Henrik does not have any lived out unrighteousness. And I believe that God will be pleased to cover Michael and Emily's son in the sacrifice of his son, Jesus. But those of us gathered here this morning have been afforded so many more opportunities than Henrik. And one of the opportunities we've been afforded is to live out that unrighteousness, to live out the sin into which we were born. I don't know whether Henrik had the capacity for faith in Jesus, and I don't believe it will be held against him in these circumstances. But for you and me, we do have this capacity. And if you reject the Jesus that we've been inviting you to throughout this service, and if you die in that rejection, it will be held against you. So here's my hope. Perhaps the reason that you'll remember Henrik Otto Thiel as Henrik the Great is that because of his life, God drew you closer to Jesus. Whether that was a tighter embrace of a Jesus that you latched onto years ago, or whether that was a first-time embrace of Jesus and this great offer of salvation that he gives because of his life and his death. These are the works of God that have been so clearly on display in the life of Henrik Otto Thiel, Henrik the Great.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies or alter their content in any way without written permission from Bethlehem Baptist Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us online at hopeingod.org or write us at 720 13th Avenue South, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55415. Bethlehem Baptist Church, spreading a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, for the joy of all peoples, through Jesus Christ.